UIC or for the marriage retreat in February, you need to be signed up this week. So I figure everybody starts with an announcement around here. I might as well start there. I want you guys to know for just a minute before we get into the lesson how proud that you should be of the group that represented Decatur at the flag football tournament yesterday. I can't walk, so I'll have to tell you a lot, and I'm going to stand still a lot because my legs are killing me. But you would have been so impressed with their sportsmanlike conduct, the way that if somebody slipped and fell, because we were in fields that were basically swimming pools of mud, if somebody on the opposing team slipped and fell, they were the first ones to help them back up. They were encouraging to everyone. When our score started to fall behind, they stayed focused on how to build one another up. Your group of young people that represented you at that Foot Flag football tournament truly represented Christ in a sports environment. It was incredible to be part of. I'm thankful that you were supportive of us and able to come out. Some of the parents got to come out and watch them play. One or two of our guys got a little bit hurt, so they had to sit on the sideline. But rather than complaining and whining, they spent their time trying to contribute from the sideline. You'd have been very proud of them. There weren't very many teams there that were making such an effort at just being uplifting as what our team was. And again, make sure you brag on these young people. Give them a hug before they leave tonight. Let them know you're proud of them because they represented us. But most importantly, they represented Christ in an environment that is seldom seen in sports. And they did a fantastic job. Since John made us all stand twice, I'm going to make him stand for just a little while. And I'm going to make him help me out with something on tonight's lesson. You'll be opening your Bible up to Ephesians. I want you to go there and I want you to think about something. I want you to think about this word, grace. The lesson topic for tonight is, what are we reaching for? You see, we spend a lot of time reaching for things in life. There's things that we want, things that we desire, things that we like, things that we just simply long for, things that we see in other people that we want to be a part of. There's all kinds of things that you and I reach for all the time. So I've got Paula Jones up here. I'm going to get John. You got to come up here and help me out for a minute. If you think about food, who in here has a favorite food? Don't lie, everybody does. Everybody's got a favorite food. You eat that stuff you don't like. So I brought this pan to represent a favorite. Now, it doesn't have to be food, but maybe you're spending a lot of your time in your life trying to pick favorites. Maybe it's a matter of asking your friends, who's your favorite, me or this person? Who's your favorite, me or that one? Or maybe you spend your time saying, you're my favorite and they're not. And any time we get to that point in our life, we have immediately made someone else feel less than. Because if we have to make anyone else choose who they're going to treat better, then that automatically ensues that we're going to treat someone worse. Or that we like them less. So I chose this skillet. Maybe it's a sports team, maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a place, maybe it's a thing, but you cannot sit that down. You have to hold it for the rest of the time. Okay? So just think in your mind, oftentimes one of the things we reach for is we reach for favorites. Because we want to feel special, or maybe we want to feel like we've got somebody that thinks that we're just better than everyone else. Do you like me more or them more? Maybe that's the way it is. The next one, this book, can't say that I'm smart enough to own a psychology book. Robert, let me borrow it. Abnormal Psychology. Sandra, this book is written about her life, wherever she's at. Just kidding. Abnormal Psychology. Maybe I'm going to use this book to say this is going to represent us searching for things that justify how we feel. That justify our actions. Maybe we spend our life reaching for things that are those excuses. This is how I feel and I'm justified by it, so I'm going to take this and I'm going to use it. I'm going to say I'm okay to treat you this way. Maybe it's a moment of saying, I'm going to believe this because of this reason. But this is saying that we oftentimes spend our time reaching out, trying to justify what we say, or justify what we do. Maybe, this is a spotlight, it's a pretty bright one, but oftentimes we will catch ourselves searching for things. And I think one thing we struggle with and that we get caught up in is we end up getting caught up in the search for numbers. We have? How many people's in our class? How many people are in our family? How many people are in our congregation? How many people are here? How many people are there? How many of these? How many of those? How many of this? How many of that? And we oftentimes spend our time reaching out for a number that we're trying to reach, something that we just want more. We want more. Maybe it's cars. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's dollars. whatever it may be, a lot of times we spend our time reaching out for these numbers. And we try to grab all of these things that we can gather up and say that all of these are ours.
I grabbed this one. Some people like recreational things. They like boats. They like cars. They like things they can get out on.
So they'll reach out for a lot of stuff that is going to be entertainment stuff. You can't get on a boat. And we want stuff. And notice, he's not completely full yet. But he's starting to fill up. He's reached for a lot of things. He's spent
a lot of his time, a lot of his life reaching out
for these things. And he's grabbing and he's collecting and he's gathering up this hoard of stuff.
Maybe it's that kind of stuff. Maybe, this is cheesy, I know, but I'm going to use it anyway. Maybe he wants to be cool.
Maybe that's what he reaches for. I didn't know how else to represent being cool, but a fan. So, you want that in the pan? Okay, in the pan.
He's got a fan. Maybe he's spending his time reaching for things
that give him an image of being cool, that make him feel like he fits in, that makes people want to look at him. Maybe he sees an ad on TV and he's just got to have this thing. Maybe it's the persona he carries. Maybe he's trying to get that John Wayne swagger where everybody thinks he's uniquely his own and he's just this
kind of guy.
Maybe he wants to be the cool guy that everybody else tries to pursue and to be like. So the fan's going to represent trying to be cool. And maybe that's something he's spending
his time reaching for.
I didn't know anything else to use but something that was bright in color. Maybe he just simply wants attention. It's going to be really hard to miss this guy. I mean, he's going to stand out big time.
So maybe he just wants attention.
Go. He's taking up fingers,
arms, and back. So maybe he's spending his time
showing out. Maybe that's what he's reaching for. Maybe he's reaching for people's attention. Maybe he's so caught up in something that he thinks it always has to be about him. And he wants to make sure nobody misses him. Everybody's going to see him. Everybody's going to know, oh, that was John that did that. That was
John.
Did you see John the other night? Can you believe John
accomplished this?
Maybe it's a moment where that's what he feeds on. And so he's constantly reaching for all of this attention. It's got to be him, and nobody else. And if anybody else starts to get the attention, hey, wait a minute,
I did that too. Don't forget about me. I did these things.
Maybe that's what he's spending a portion of his life reaching out for, is the attention. Maybe
he's caught up in life in a comfort zone. So I use a blanket and a pillow.
Say that he's searching for a comfort zone. Where do you want this?
Right on the side. Okay. He can no longer see you. Maybe
he's spending all of his life trying to find places that make him comfortable. Maybe
he's trying to be in a moment of comfort
where he says, you know, maybe the bed's a little more comfortable on Sunday morning than getting up. Maybe not reaching out and trying to visit someone, because visits get kind of awkward if you don't know what to say. No way I'm getting out of my comfort zone to go visit someone. No way I'll get out of my comfort zone to lead a prayer or lead singing. No way I'll get out of my comfort zone to try to have a Bible study with someone. No way I'll get out of my comfort zone to let my guard down and actually trust someone. Maybe I won't let my guard down, and maybe I just simply want to live in my comfort zone, and I'm not going to try anything new. I'm not going to try anything unique. You know what? If it makes me uncomfortable and it's in the Bible, I probably won't do that either, because I don't want to be uncomfortable. So maybe he spends his life and a portion of it reaching out for all of these comfort zones. He never wants to step out of his comfort zone, never do anything out of his normal routine. And so he's got his blanket and pillow, and he's going to be wrapped up in his comfort zone. Because this one is fixing to get a little challenging. Maybe you're into sports. But you might be. I mean, here's a baseball bat. How good is this? Any ideas? Okay. Going there? Okay, I can go there. All right.
And I do know that we have a lot of golfers in this crowd. And this one's going to be a tough one. I know we've got a lot of people proud of their golf abilities in this crowd. So how many of this? The other arm? Can you get it out? Okay. So this is going to be heavy.
Okay, don't drop nothing, all right?
Step on.
Okay. Okay, there's the way to it.
Maybe he's chasing athleticism.
Maybe he wants this image. Maybe he wants this, I'm an athlete and I'm top dog on the field. Nobody can compete with me. Nobody can compare with me. I've got to have the best of this and the best of that. Maybe everything in his life that he's chasing now,
he's got the comfort zone. He's got
attention. He's got justification and justifies his reasons for being the way he is. He's cool because he's got all this talent. He's an athlete. He's got all of this stuff. And he's been reaching for it for so long, and now it's starting to pile up. He's got a lot of things.
Maybe he wants style. And there's nothing more stylish than a Taylor Swift flash football t-shirt with
Robbie Lloyd's last name on it. So I'm going to say,
maybe he's cheap chasing style.
Up top? On your shoulder? Okay. Maybe that's
what he's chasing. Maybe he's going after style. He has to have the best, the nicest.
It has to look the best. It has to look the nicest. If it's any less than the best, he's worse. His whole attitude will automatically change, and he won't be the
same person because he doesn't have the style that he's saying. Well, maybe he's caught up
and seeing that on TV. It's got to be this.
It's got to be that. Maybe it's the
sports coat. Maybe it's the silk tie that has to be 100% silk because it's extra expensive. Maybe it's the way that the shoes look. Maybe it's the way that whatever it may be, maybe it's about style for him. And maybe that's something that he's been reaching for a long time.
Maybe
he wants to protect himself from everything. And so I think, you know, this protects the way we look because it keeps the rain out of our hair. But it also protects us from the sun. So maybe he wants to protect himself from a lot of things. Any ideas?
No.
Okay, here, we'll try this. We'll just set her down here. Does that work? Okay. Maybe one of the things that he's been reaching for all this time is just protecting.
Now look, you realize that
umbrella encompasses everything else that he's got hold of. He's protecting all of the image. He's protecting the attitude he's had. He's protecting the justification. He's protecting the fact that he's cool now. So if you're not cool, don't get around me because I've got to protect the fact that I'm a cool person. I'm an athlete, so if you're not a cool person,
I've got to protect the image of
being an athlete. I've got all of this attention, but out. I've got my boat, I've got my car, I've got my recreation. I'm protecting my stuff. And if you think that you're going to get into my stuff, hang it up. I am protecting my stuff.
Maybe, we'll go with this one, maybe he's a hunter. And maybe he wants to go out and have a
trophy room. And maybe that's where his Sunday morning is going to be spent because you know what, he works all week. And he needs to get out in the woods and either duck hunt, deer hunt, whatever it may be. You got any ideas? There's a pair of boots right here. They're kind of heavy.
Okay, there's one finger.
Two fingers.
All right.
And where do you want these?
Right.
On the golf bag? Okay, on the golf
bag. All right. So he's now got more forms of recreation.
The way that he's going to entertain himself. Do you think he could take much more?
Not much.
I mean, I'm pretty impressed. Do you think he could take something maybe this big?
Possibly.
Possibly? Okay.
Maybe he finds out one day. Now, I'm going to just turn this way for a minute. And the box is not what's
important. It's what the box represents. Maybe he has reached a point in his life that someone has finally reached out to him. Now, on top of everything he's already got, you know, one thing that encompasses for our whole life is sin. And sin seems to weigh us down more than anything else. So if I had weights I could drop on him, I'd do that. But I love John, so I'm not going to. But if you think about sin, imagine he had to hold 10 or 15 more things.
And then one day,
he receives the ultimate gift. All these are gifts that he's been reaching for, things he's been trying to gather up. And maybe one day, God's trying to give him an ultimate gift. Now, when your hands are full, can you receive this gladly?
Grace. Yep.
He says no. I don't think he's got anywhere to put it. I don't think there is anywhere for this box to go. I don't think I could set it on the golf bag. It would be off balance. And I don't think he's got a hand that's open. It, literally, his head is between two spikes on an umbrella of protection for his things. He's got all of the stuff hanging off of his back. His fingers are probably starting to get shaky because those boots are pretty heavy. He's got a lot of stuff. And yet we spend our life chasing these things and we forget that when we fill our hands, can we receive the greatest blessing that's ever been given to us? Well, not if
we're trying to protect everything with all we've got. First off, you got to stop
trying to protect yourself. and start being able to give some things up. I don't know if this will stay shut or not, but we'll try. You got to stop protecting yourself and be willing to give some things up. Be willing to let go of some things. Prioritize some time.
Maybe he's going to come on
Saturdays now and it's not Sunday anymore. Maybe he's just going to work on his schedule
so things can get better.
Not yet. Getting there though, right? Maybe it's not about attention. Yeah, I'm going to take the light things first. Maybe it's not about
this anymore. Maybe it's not about him.
Maybe
he's starting to learn there's something better than just him.
Maybe
he steps out of his comfort zone for the first time.
You know what happens
when he gets out of his comfort zone?
All this other stuff starts to lose value because he finds something more valuable than what he currently has.
Maybe he's not worried about the style
anymore. Maybe he lets go of the show of athleticism, and maybe he starts to let go of some of the things that don't really matter. Maybe the way he treats his sports start to change some.
Maybe the way that he does things on an athletic field,
his attitude starts to talk to his
team in a more positive way. Maybe he recognizes
Christ in what he does. Maybe it's not about being cool anymore,
but maybe it's about sharing the grace that he has given. Maybe it doesn't matter if
he's cool or not at all, because that's just a persona that's going to go away in just a few years anyway. Maybe he doesn't care that much about numbers anymore, and the spotlight kind of goes away, and he's not searching for individual people, but rather he's trying to make sure everyone he knows gets to heaven, whether there's a whole lot of numbers or just one of his family. Maybe it's not about picking favorites. Maybe he starts to love everyone equally and never forces anyone's hand to say, do you like me or this person more? Maybe
he gets rid of that mentality of having to have favorites,
and suddenly the people around him start to value him more.
And no more does he need to justify
the way that he acts or speaks to them, because they know where he stands, because he has received something. Maybe it's no more about this stuff that he gathers up and hoards up. You're good, you can sit down. Thank you, John.
Maybe all of these things that we reach for
ends up so full that when God goes to give us this ultimate gift, we've already filled ourselves up with ourselves. We've already filled ourselves full of things that we desire. And you know, Scripture doesn't have that much value when you live outside of God's moralistic standards anyway. Because when you only look at yourself, you're only going to be judged by yourself. And you're never going to know what Judgment Day looks like. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to open them up. I want you to go to John chapter 4. This is something that I think is absolutely awesome, and I just kind of, maybe it should have been more obvious, but I just put this together like a couple days ago
when I was getting
ready for this lesson. But if you go to John chapter 4, and then remember what Daniel read for us just a little bit ago. Thank you, Daniel. You did a fantastic job. Daniel read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." Did you catch that? He said that it was something. He said that grace was the gift of God. Agreed? If grace is the gift of God, let's go to John chapter 4. And I want you to notice, we get the Samaritan woman. She meets him at the well. We're not going to go through the whole story because we all know it pretty well. Even Robert, just on one of his last lessons, gave us a lesson about this. But I want you to notice in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew what? The gift of God." That just clicked with me just a few days ago. I never put two and two together there. What is Jesus saying to this lady? He said, if you knew what grace was about, you wouldn't be worried about where you worship and where you don't worship. He's saying, if you knew what grace was about, there wouldn't be any separation between me and you. He's saying, if you know what this gift that I have to offer you was about, you'd be ready to give me a gift in return of the water that I asked for. If you knew what this gift of God... Now, wait a minute. What did we learn out in Ephesians? Grace is the gift of God. And here we sit, and he's talking to the Samaritan lady, and he says, the gift of God. If you knew what the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. That blows my mind. I never put those two together. I never saw it
before. Jesus is trying to teach
her about grace. Why do you think he stands there and rather than condemning her and telling her how horrible she is for all the things she's done, he mentions the gift of God? And even though she doesn't get it yet, she doesn't understand it yet, she doesn't know exactly what he's talking about, here they are speaking on this level in a way that says, hey, If you knew what this was about, we'd be on a whole other playing field. We'd be in a whole other place. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles over to Romans chapter 6. Romans and chapter 6. As we talk about grace and what it is, keep in mind, whatever it is that you reach for is what you'll fill your hands with. It's what you'll fill your time with. It's what you'll fill your life with. And I know it's 5:43, but Alan said I had 20 extra minutes tonight. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah.
I'm reaching for more time. So as you think about grace, and you think about the things that you gather up, the things that you hold on to, what can you receive when you've filled your hands already? When you have filled your heart with whatever it is, whether it's lust of the flesh, whatever you filled your heart with, can you receive something if it's already full of what you put in it? Can that grace blessing, what are you spending your time reaching for? And will you ever value grace if you never reach for it? Now, grace is a free gift. Every one of us is given it. We're all given grace. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus died on the cross. Why? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That means He loved the world. That's the lost and the saved. So He gave us all grace. But not everybody's going to heaven. So how does that work? Here's the issue. Some people have a gift sitting in front of them that they're not reaching for because their hands are already full. And they're not willing to put anything down to free up their hands to reach out and take what God has freely given. You see, by being here tonight, I can very obviously know there's a lot of people just in this auditorium that care about the grace God has given us and the gift that He has given to you. And that you want to give back to God, so you're laying down some things to free your time, to be able to worship His name tonight, to learn more about Him tonight. But you see, there's an entire world out there besides just us, besides just those who are in all the congregations tonight, that don't understand this topic of grace. Or maybe they've heard about it, but maybe they're still holding on to some things that are staying within their hearts and within their hands. They're never able to open up and take part in this amazing gift we're given. In Romans, let me change for just a second. Romans chapter 1 as well. In Romans chapter 1, we get a picture of grace. We get a little bit of an example. We get a little bit of a guidance, so to speak. In chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. He who died to sin, live in it any longer? Or do you not know that just as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." What's this newness of life about? It means some things have to change. If I take an old car and I restore it and I say, "I have made this thing new," what does that mean? It means I've taken all the rust, was decaying it, everything that was tearing it down and destroying it, and I've taken all that off and I've cleaned it up. I've restored it. I've made it like new. God says, "I want to offer you grace. And I want to take everything, all of this stuff that is building up in front of you, all of this stuff that is weighing you down, everything that is put into a perspective, everything that is tearing you down to keep you out of heaven, and I want to replace it with something, but you've got to empty your hands. You have to empty yourself of yourself. Otherwise, you're never going to have space to fill grace in." At the end of those same verses, verse 5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer holds a dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ our Lord." Just think of what that's saying. Just paint the picture in your heart and in your mind. What he's saying is that Jesus put all of the things that he had to the side. If he was a man just like you and me, I bet key lime pie was very tempting to him. I don't know if they had key lime pie then. They probably didn't. But I bet if they did, it would have been tempting. Because that stuff's delicious. And I bet he would have wanted to eat and eat and eat and eat on that after 40 days of fasting. To the point that it was uncontrollable. To the point that he was just consuming and consuming and consuming. I bet that there were people walking around that he looked at them in a way that said, well, they've got a lot of attention. Now, if he was a man just like you and me, and he experienced temptation just like you and me, we've got to remember that our Lord and Savior was tempted just like you and me. And that if he was, his ability to overcome those temptations, to never give in to sin, was the only way we received grace. He says, I want you to have this gift, and I want you to live in this gift. Not live bogged down, not live burned down, not live trying to live up to somebody else's expectations. I don't want you to spend your life trying to be a show for someone because they'll always expect more out of you. You know, it didn't matter how great Peyton Manning gets in football. Everybody always wants to see him do more. And he doesn't even play anymore. It doesn't matter how great all of these different sports figures are. It doesn't matter how awesome a pair of clothes are. Give it 6 months and it'll be another pair you're chasing. So if it's style you're after, you're going to be chasing something for the rest of your life. If it's recreation, do you remember when canoes were the most important thing, and now it's kayaks, and now it's boats, and now it changes, and everything keeps getting more, and you're constantly chasing stuff? Because if recreation is what we're after, there's always going to be some new way of having recreation. If just simply being on the water has changed as much as it has, imagine how many other things change. Got to have a better glove, got to have a better ball, got to have a better bat, got to have a better this, got to have a better that, got to have better shoes, got to have a better jersey, got to have a better helmet, got to have a better mask. You will spend your life stressed out chasing something that you'll never catch. And if you catch it, it's only going to last for a moment. Because then something new and better comes out. If you're after the attention that you get, you know what? People's attention span is pretty short. I mean, just consider how hard it is to focus tonight, or especially this morning. But think about how hard it becomes to pay attention to things at times. That it's hard for us to focus. We have to discipline ourselves in order to pay attention to things that we want to learn from. And when we think about it, if we're always trying to say that we're after people's attention, and their attention span is maybe 5 minutes, you will never be satisfied trying to gain the attention of people, because they will always be distracted by the next thing that comes by. They will always go somewhere else. If you get caught up in the ability to say that you want whatever it may be and all of this stuff, if you're trying to make people pick favorites, remember the example you're setting, because someone else is trying to pick a favorite as well, and it might not be you. Or they might take the person that you thought was your favorite away from you. There is one thing that once you obtain, and once you have been given, and once it is offered, will never change. Our Lord is doing His best every day to give us a gift. But we've got to set some things down in order to receive it. We don't hear sermons on grace enough. I've heard that said many, many, many times. And I think we could talk about grace every single day and always benefit from it. I firmly believe that. Because grace is pure, perfected, and true love given to all of us at every moment. Tonight, maybe you need to set some things down. Maybe you've spent too much time protecting and justifying the things that you've been clinging to. Maybe you've spent all of your days gathering up this stuff and these things. Maybe you've been concerned about the numbers, the attention, the popularity. Maybe you've been concerned with just simply being right. And maybe you've talked down to others in a way that says, I have to be right and justified in what I say and do. Maybe you're chasing things you're never going to catch. I want you to know tonight, God's grace is offered to you. And it's something you can obtain and you can catch right now, this very moment, as we stand and as we sing.